For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Man, oh man. It's Tuesday. Press conference earlier today from interim head coach Bickey Joseph on the football program. And kind of a state of the union, sort of a, this is particulars. And he took about 10 questions. And
what do you say? You saying anything, spicy?
Well, here's.
Hey, you got my mic on?
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, you're on. I can't hear. You're all right, there you go.
I didn't think it was spicy. I thought it was interesting. He opened with, "I challenged the kids to get better this week. Our model this week was Nebraska versus Nebraska. We're not worrying about Indiana, but to get ready and to get better as an individual team and get the fundamentals cleaned up and get better in all three phases of the game." He said, "Like I said on Saturday, that was on me. I should have slowed the ball down and huddled, took some possessions away from Oklahoma. I did not do that, and that is on me. They responded great today. They responded great yesterday."
Yeah, I mean, it's you like accountability and you know, and all that stuff. I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but I still look at it like you could still try to stop him to Oklahoma. You could at least provide some sort of resistance.
Well, he talked about Shenander. He was asked about Shenander. And he said, "Shenander's a good man and a good coach, but the numbers did not add up. I did not see us getting better. For 4 weeks, I did not see us get better from week one to week four. I had to make a decision, the best decision for the kids, because it's about the boys. So I had to make the best decision for the boys."
Yeah, it's an unfortunate part of the business, man, and that's why you know, head coaches that are able to have long tenures, you know, understand what it really means. And I don't think the regular layman fan really understands it. And sometimes coaches don't understand it. When you're a head coach, the last person you need to think about is yourself. Even though you're the highest paid. And then it trickles down. So when you're a coach, a position coach, the last person you need to think about is yourself because you're thinking about your players. But when you're a head coach, You're the grand overseer. Yeah. And everybody is affected by the decisions you make in and out of the office, on or off the field, because there's a trickle down effect. There's a lot of people. There's like, I call it, you know, there's a lot of collateral damage, If it's perceived you're not handling your business, then it goes from you. Then, you know, the defensive coordinator. Well, then, you know, if that's your defensive staff and that's your staff, well, then everybody else is just, like I said, collateral damage, and now they're on notice, right? And some could be warranted, some couldn't, you know. But at the end of the day, it stemmed from one to the other, and that's why. You know, people, you know, they're so quick to talk about firing a coach, cutting a player. There's a lot of things that go into it that you need to think about. They got wife, they got kids, they got family. Yes, they are handsomely compensated, and that's one of the most appealing things about Nebraska. So it seems like that you can come here and get paid and, you know, whatever. But, you know, so that's part of it. But ultimately, there's other things that go into it. So, you know, Mickey's right. You know, Eric's a good dude, and at this point, especially from Georgia Southern to, you know, Oklahoma, the defense didn't perform well. There's probably plenty of blame to go around, I'm sure. I'm sure Eric would – I mean, I'm assuming he's like, man, I probably wish I could, you know, have a few calls back, right, as the players probably wish they had a few plays back, both individually and collectively. But, you know, over 4 weeks or, you know, so forth and so on. But, you know, he had, you know, you expect him as a head coach to act as such and to operate as such. And he has to make the best decision that he thinks is right at this point in time. So you have to respect it. You don't have to like it. You need to respect it because he's making it for with everybody else in mind. Right. He's making a hard decision for you as a player for hopefully potentially the betterment for you in, you know, in this season. You know, those decisions probably aren't easy. Sure, Mickey doesn't take them lightly, and you know, and he's probably, you know, it's not like an impulsive. He doesn't seem like a very impulsive person. So I know, you know, something that he, you know, probably didn't want to do, but he felt like he had to do, and he understands it's part of the business. I'm sure, you know, he's seen other people that have been, you know, been on the other side of it. And it's not fun. I mean, you know, they won a national championship at LSU, and here's what's his face as the head coach. He lost his way, then everybody else loses, right? They lost their offensive coordinator to Carolina. Ed Orgeron kind of got out of his, you know, what made him successful, and he exposed everybody else. I mean, so it's a tough business to be in, and that's why, you know, coaching is a hard business to get into and to stay into and so forth and so on.
402-464-5685, Starter Heyman text line, Honda Lincoln Hotline, if you want to join in the conversation. Yes, in fact, we do read comments off the video stream, the Starter Heyman live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter Live, so you can make those comments, and we will get to them as well. Jay Foreman will tell us now about the Mercado.
Certified Piedmontese and their special ingredients and butcher shop located at approximately 84th and Havelock. Great dessert menu, great main course menu, or great appetizer menu, great main course and great dessert. And they have a butcher shop. So it's not only certified Piedmontese beef, but it has all types of beef and cuts. So I enjoyed myself going there, and it's a good. I had a good experience and look forward to going back. So I highly, highly encourage everybody to go, especially with the off weekend this weekend. You know, usually pretty busy during Husker weekend, so you might be able to get in this weekend.
From the text line, I said, Craig says, I don't know. I know they don't let you guys watch practice, but you might want to send a few people down there to watch the players walk to their cars. There's quite a few soft marshmallows. Craig.
What?
Yeah, like, you know.
I don't even know what that means.
That they don't look like football players. They don't have, you know, muscular
he said
bodies.
He didn't get in the weight room.
He said they look.
They eugenics.
They called them quite a few soft marshmallows, is what he said.
You get on an Atkins diet or something.
You know, you never know. Also, the question is, are we going to see someone else at right tackle because Ben Hart would have trouble blocking the sun, let alone trying to block a defender? What say you, Jay Foreman?
What do I think they're? I don't know, man. I mean, that's a Mickey question and a Coach Rayola question.
From what you saw,
he's struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe get him some help or something like that. I mean, I know I don't think any kid wants to go out there and struggle like that. So, nobody's immune to a bad game or a few games of struggling. So, that's a coach's decision. But if I was him, I would be working diligently every day, not just the days I have to be there, diligently, supreme overtime on how I can be better, both just for him, you know, as a, you know, assuming as a competitor, but then also for the team, because, you know, at the end of the day, whether you're playing at Nebraska, Meatloaf State, you know, Northwestern, Miami, Minnesota, it doesn't matter where it's at, you definitely want to, you know, put your best effort out there, especially if you're out there.
I find this interesting that in the conversation, and I kind of want to have the conversation with you, Jay, a lot of the discussion around social media, on social media, has been, well, you know, can't believe nobody told us what was going on in the program. You know, things from behind the scenes.
Well, who was supposed to – Well, who was it needed to be told? The fans or something?
The question is, how did nobody know the stuff that is now being put out that's there? And I want to ask you, because I know for me, most of the work that I've done here hasn't been credentialed work. Same for you. Like, right. you're working off of personality and resume.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But the things that are said behind the scenes away from a microphone don't always make it to air. And there's several reasons why.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
There's several reasons why.
It's no different than me being on this radio station 5 hours a week and not being down at practice.
Right.
Now, I would push back heavily against that because I know for a fact Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, and I know for sure Georgia and Alabama have guys that are former players that do radio over there, and I know there's plenty more. Actually, I know they're at Minnesota as well because Ron Johnson, who's a good friend of mine, and Daryl Thompson, you know, both of them, just know them from being from Minnesota or do it. So maybe that's part of it. If it's insulated, you know, there's two reasons why you do where you kind of like batten down the hatches, mm-hmm. at least in my opinion. Never been a head coach, never had to batten down the hatches, but you batten down the hatches is if you're trying to get supreme focus, right?
Like, it's just us.
Yeah, well,
it's us and us.
Right? It's no different than we're at the bowl game. It's, you know, if we had, say, curfew was going to be in effect to say Wednesday and say we decided to start on Tuesday, well, we want to be extremely focused. So we just hotel, bed, meetings, practice. You know what I mean? That's just batting down the hatches. Now, granted, we didn't have cell phones and all that stuff. All we had was like little sky pagers or whatever, but that's one reason you do it. And another reason is if you potentially could be viewed as not operating on the up and up. Here's a good analogy, right? I talked about this. Ryan Tannehill in the rookie quarterback. Yeah. And I have also another story about it, whereas a rookie kind of depends on a veteran. A veteran will kind of, or generally, you're supposed to pay it forward and give back and teach you the ways and expose yourself, both good, bad, and indifferent, because that's what you're supposed to do, right? Versus you have another veteran, I'm not going to tell you anything. There's a story Shannon Sharp talked about when how he made the team as a rookie, seventh-round draft choice, and everybody thought that he was funny in the locker room, but he didn't really know the playbook. He had to know, like, all four positions. He had to know tight end, H-back, X, and Z. Well, he didn't. So he asked an older guy who was in competition with him about a play. He told him the wrong play. So that let me know that veteran had something. He was hiding something, which he was scared of competition. Whereas, like, sometimes in a coaching thing, they can kind of do that where you can kind of maybe see something or something that might not be on the up and up, or view something, you know, or just kind of like be talking amongst themselves, or, you know, like these conversations or whatever can sometimes happen. And they don't want to get checked on it, because if I'm a head coach and within reason, all right, within reason, I don't need you at practice evaluating my play calling. I don't need you to be at practice and then be like, all right, but still come to practice. When we were winning out of championships, I swear to God, there was dudes there every day at the start of practice. And I think they were there at the end of practice. You'd have to ask Sip, but I remember looking over there and seeing them all the time. Now it's a different time. It is a different time. So I'm just saying, even when we were in Buffalo, we didn't have a big media, like, you know, but guys were there, you know, in the locker room, beginning of practice, end of practice, while we were actively practicing, not just stretch. You know, they didn't need to see Bruce Smith and Thurman stretch or, you know, whatever. So sometimes that's the way it is, and sometimes you're kind of doing it. And something, you know, sometimes, you know, Ed Orgeron, there's guys that lose your – sometimes you, like, lose your way. Now, do I believe everything that's said on the internet? No, but there's some probably some, that, you know, stuff that needs to be taken care of.
That's part of it, and I just – I'll speak on this really quickly, DP, because as someone that is a reporter that actually does kind of go into that space, I can't stand when people say that, because everyone can say a rumor on the internet. Reporters' jobs is to report. If you know for 100% fact, if you can prove it, okay, that's one thing. All of this throughout this entire situation has been rumors. So why are we saying about this reporters? Like, that isn't so reckless as a reporter to not say something, or to say something at that matter, if you don't know for 100% fact, yeah. If you can't
I don't
show
know.
Proof,
I don't know.
That is just so reckless. And for people to say that reporters should be doing that is part of the problem.
Well,
I won't say the reporter's name. No, he's not a reporter. He's a media, whatever you call it. It's somebody that covers a team. And he said he wasn't scared, but he knew that if he said something, he might be blacklisted. I don't know.
Might be something completely different.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, what's done is done. Is, you know, it didn't work out, which is probably the worst part about it.
Right.
Because, you know, there's a lot of things that when you know, I always say like this, like, and I said this the other day, is like, you know, here's where some anger probably, I won't say anger, but just being upset or just whatever you want to call it, is that he had a tremendous opportunity. And it's not all Scott's fault, though. All right. As you're saying, it's not all Scott's fault. But he's a head coach. He's going to be blamed for it. And, you know, whatever his percentage of fault is, it's probably more than 50%, but it's not all his fault. But he has a tremendous opportunity that not a lot of people that are in the coaching profession that have been here and played here and have worked in the coaching profession that would have ever gotten a chance to do. That's factual. All right? Turner Gill was the hottest coach in the nation when he was leaving Buffalo. Didn't get a sniff here. All right? Now, it worked out well because Bo came and he won like 73 games or something and, you know, won 9 a year. So you could say that worked out. But there's other guys that have not got the opportunity to coach here in any role as easily as probably some guys that have been recently. You know what I'm saying? So that's probably where it's at, and all the other stuff to it. I mean, it's no different than when Bo was here. It's just a different type of information where, you know, Bo – and I can speak, Bo, I think, you know, if you could split Nebraska, however you want to slice it, 50-50, that was Bo. That's why you have the Bo Leavers still calling in, and there's people that love Bo, and there's people that didn't like Bo. Same with Scott. There's going to be people that think Scott should have been able to coach out the rest of the year or got to go through 7 years, and there's some people that that didn't. And then there was stuff that they were saying, not Bo directly, but things that were going on in Bo's coaching staff. That was all over the place as well. It's just the way – that's just the way it is. Now, a lot of that stuff comes out after because, you know, when you're on the – well, first of all, in both situations you're winning, you don't want to be that guy to be up here trying to talk about some rumors and stuff and you know, he just pulled – you know, got 9-10 wins or versus you're trying to – you know, and I think guys that cover the team or most of them are generally trying to support the team. I'd probably say there's only one or two that probably enjoy this type of atmosphere. And that's few and far between, but those are always the ones that, you know, get the most kind of play. But, you know, I just think that, you know, it's a very odd situation. I mean, even just how stuff is handled and, even with myself, just an odd situation. It's a learning situation for, sure for Scott, right? I mean, at some point in time, you gotta, like, you know, kind of like look at how could he have done better. I'd like to think so. Players need to probably figure out how they could have done better and then just go from there. I mean, look, there's when Craig Bohl left here, he had a tumultuous time as a defensive coordinator. He did. Players didn't connect with him. He didn't connect with the players. You know, now look at him.
I think it's a good place to take a break. We've got two segments to get to in the rest of the hour. They'll be short segments, but we'll load them. We'll answer some of the texts that are on the text line. You guys have been busy putting your comments in and asking questions, but I think being able to define the responsibility of each space, the athletic department and their messaging, the media and their messaging, and there's the media is a wide-ranging thing in a wide-ranging group, and then the fan base and how they engage. We'll talk about those things when we come back to Old School.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.